Our epistle for this Easter Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be new dough, as you really are without leaven. For Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Therefore let us keep festival, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. At that time, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone back from the entrance of the tomb for us?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very large. But on entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were amazed. He said to them, "Do not be terrified. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he told you." Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. He is risen. He is not here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. First off, my dear friends in Christ, I wish you all a most blessed and grace-filled Easter day and season. Last night, during the ceremonies, after we processed with the Paschal candle and the blessed fire into the church, and we sang the Exultet, we had readings of the Old Testament. And the first reading of the Old Testament was about creation. And it was a notable thing to consider that on the sixth day is when God created man. And the seventh day, he rested. The first day of the week is when he started creation. Now it was the sixth day that it has been long thought of that man fell, being tempted by Lucifer from a tree. And we know that it was on the sixth day, which is Friday, is the day that the Lord was crucified. On the seventh day, he was still in the tomb. And on the first day of the week, as we read today, he rose victorious over death, over the devil, and over sin. Now, whenever I consider the fall of man, creation, the fall of man, redemption, and I know I have probably talked to you about this before, but it's worth reconsidering and meditating on. But creation is like, could be compared to a great symphony, perfect in harmony and blend. If everybody played their notes properly. But because the creatures endowed with intellect and the others are intellect and free will, God allowed them to play the notes that they would want to play. And one, the greatest of the creatures, threw a discord into the symphony of creation. And then, as the saying goes, misery loves company. Tempted, the first man through the first woman to add another discord. And this is what we call the fall. Now, in last night's liturgy, when we're singing the Exultet, when we're talking about the fall of man, we call it the O Felix Culpa, the O Happy Fault. Why? Because we see demonstrated in a most amazing way the love that God has for us. He takes that discord and forms around it another symphony called redemption, uniting his divinity with our humanity. The incarnation takes place. He is born. He lives. He institutes the gifts that he gives to us in order so that we will not have to be slaves to our fallen human nature. Gives us an opportunity to be attached to him in the mystical body. And then, having preached his gospel, he laid down his life and took the restitution due for our sins upon himself on the sixth day. Now, those are two symphonies. There's a third, which he enabled for each individual to make up on his own, on account. By one man, sin entered into the world. Adam fell, and so we all suffered the consequences. But Christ, who is God made man, became the new Adam and gave us something that no man but Christ, who is God made man, could give us. And that's the opportunity. And this symphony, my dear friends in Christ, is what we call sanctification. Sanctification is up to the individual's free will. Christ has given us that opportunity. We have the sacraments, baptism, to be washed from original sin and cleansed, and being given an indelible mark as a child of God. And if, on account of our fallen human natures, we fall, we can go to confession, get reestablished with our connection with God, or perfect it, and to do away with anything that might distance us from him. And of course, it's not enough for God to just give us his grace. He gives us himself in Holy Communion. He brings the Spirit to us of sanctifying grace, the life of God in our soul. This past Friday, we celebrated, of course, Good Friday, but it was also the Passover. Now, the Passover of old is when the angel of death came into Egypt and slaughtered the firstborn of everyone who was in a house that was not marked with the blood of the Lamb. We are in the new Passover. Whether or not we are marked with the blood of the Lamb of God is up to us. It's a choice that each individual must make. That symphony is up to you and up to me. And he has given us that opportunity. Now, there are many people who say, oh, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And yet, they proclaim him on Sunday, perhaps, maybe not every Sunday. And then they go out and live in the world and are of the world. And Christ says it very distinctly, you are either with me or you are against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. If you love me, keep my commandments. My Father will love you, and we will come to you and make our abode in you. If you want to be my disciples, if, free will, The choice is ours. If you want to be my disciples, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Not our commandments, his commandments. We live in a day and age where if we can get a few people to agree with us, then we think we're pretty good to go. And that's the epitome of folly. And such a disservice or such an act of ingratitude for what the good Lord has given to us. And we see it played out over and over and over again. Before Moses died, he talked to the people, called them obstinate, and told them they would turn to their evil ways because that was in their nature. And they were stubborn and stiff-necked. And this is right after he had given them the law. This is the law of God. This is what God wants you to do. And he said, he told the Levites to write down the law and put it in the Ark of the Covenant as a witness against them. And I couldn't help but when reading that last night, thinking, how many of us have a Bible at home? Probably don't open it as often as we should. But we have a Bible at home, and is it a witness against us and how we live? Are we truly God-fearing, appreciating what opportunity he has given to us, what Christ has done for us, offering us not only a part in that redemptive act of him dying on the cross, which we are celebrating right now, the unbloody sacrifice of Christ on the cross is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but also the victory that he had over death, over the devil, and over sin. This is what we're offered. When we participate and assist at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, Christ is born on the altar. Christ dies when he allows us to consume him, as it were, only to rise within us if we allow him to. And this is my prayer for us this Easter season, that the victory of Christ can be ours, and that we are willing to die to ourselves in order so that Christ can truly rise within us. Once again, my dear friends, a most blessed and graceful Easter season to you all. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.